most people's biggest problem, I guess, with Yiddishkeit is in the davening. And let me explain why. On the one hand, most of our most spiritual moments happen when we daven. A person, the first time he davened like really well, or he was in some sort of kumzit setting, and you sang some tefillah which really, really turned you on, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So you feel really, really powerful about it, very strong about it, and very good about it. It turns into rote. Learning tends to get better as you get more into it, and you know more, you understand more, you can ask better, you enjoy it more, and that usually improves with time. Tefillah, saying it over and over again, also not. It's very hard to get yourself emotionally always primed into something, because it's something which is intellectually, like learning. So if you know, sort of put your mind to it, so you can usually get into it without problem. It's filler. Somebody had a choler once on something like that, so people get very into it and they get very moved by it. And somebody has a special need, a shidduch, whatever, parnasa. But when we have day in, day out, three times a day, that's very hard. Also, the fact that we don't know the meaning of the words is difficult. Learning about tefillah, so sometimes you learn a lot of pirushim, and so it turns into limud. It's very hard to say that knowing all sorts of nice pshatim on three words in Shemoneh Esrei is going to change a Shemoneh Esrei. It's not realistic either. So we're really very stuck on it. For most people, when you have a large lush by chassidim, where there's a very, very intense group davening with an intensity, so it sort of carries over. But it also has a way of going to rote and so on. So it's really hard to figure out a vad that will help us. And it's something everybody really wants. Everybody wants to be able to daven like a mensch. It's something that we know will be relevant to us the rest of our lives, no matter how much more learning we'll do, less learning. So I guess I'll try to figure out what it is exactly we're going to learn and how we're going to learn it. But I want to try and give more, first, some general sense of something. Kavana doesn't mean thinking pshatim into something. If you have to think something into something, you don't have it. The first thing is to learning. If your Hebrew is not great, but learning, but saying the words and translating your mind is not. It's not a good setup. If you ever see the more modern, like the Rosetta Stone, all these modern devices. When we were growing up, you learned a foreign language. We learned French by translating, and you kept translating in your mind what you heard and what it meant, which is cumbersome and very, very unpleasant, and not really doesn't, you know, if you have to do it, you have to do it, but that's it. The more natural way is to sort of make a leap to the language. So when a child is growing up and he's learning how to speak, he doesn't translate. He sort of associates the word dog with the thing outside that's barking. If you learn what the words mean, you don't need to think of the meaning. You can get the feel of the word. If you know the meaning, if you've gone through it and you translated it and you've gone through it a few times, then when you say it, it drop the translation. You will feel the meaning itself. That's a tremendous, for those people for whom Hebrew is not easy, or not all Hebrew is easy, then it's something which is going to be, it's not, translation is a horrible, that's why the Siddurim that have the word by word translation, yes, if you're about Chuvan, it's the first time you're seeing Hashanah davening, you're going to need it. But if you've been learning for a while, if you are familiar, or if you learn on tefillah and you sort of read the pieces a few times and you're familiar with it, then forget the translation. The words, the words themselves will come to you. I don't want to compare it to something secular, but there's, if people have ever read poetry or beautiful writing, you know that what you're doing is you are allowing yourself to be moved by the words. You're not pushing. You're allowing yourself, sometimes like a doctor tells you, wants to check something, tells you, you know, relax your hand, your mouth, your foot, whatever it is, relax it. Don't push, don't pull, let go. The ability to sit back and absorb the meaning of the word, the feeling of the word, is a certain sense that's vital if you'll ever to daven. My Messiah is Litvish Shabbos, my father was Lit and Yeshivas I learned. Whereas Chassidim tried to stoke a fire, scream the word, yell the word, and so on, being able to be moved by the words was the tchuna that we tried to develop. And that's very, very vital in understanding it, and in getting the feel for it. If a person is able to have the sense of it, so let's see if we can give a general picture. The first thing, many of the halachas of tefillah are like Bechoni and Magal, where you make a circle around yourself. The first thing in tefillah is to withdraw from the world around you. In other words, you're coming into the Beis Medrash and into the Beis Knesset, into the Makom Tefillah, and you're withdrawing from things around you. And that's why anything that would make you, anything that would disturb you, you can't daven in a walkway, you can't daven if you have to go to the bathroom. Anything which would interfere with it is asa. So making yourself and having that bubble around yourself is very vital. That's the first part, that's one. Step two is understanding the concentration that we're talking about is not the concentration, it's the concentration when you're listening to somebody, where you're just sitting back and listening to the person and absorbing the information. You're trying to, when you concentrate in davening, it's not you're putting things into words, you're usuk with the words. You're involved with it and you're allowing that. A third thing that I think is very vital is the I'll tell you a Maisa Shahaya. It's a small Maisa Shahaya, it's Maisa Rav. My son, one of my children, used to take turns sleeping by my mother-in-law. My father had been nifted already, so there would always be two grandchildren there sleeping, and one of my children was there together with his first cousin, and it was very near where Rabbi Yashiv had his minyan. It wasn't a big or popular minyan at those days. It was a minyan, and it was the most convenient minyan. It was, I think, 6 in the morning, 7 o'clock, whatever, that's where he used to go. So Rabbi Yashiv came over to my son, and he told him I guess Rabbi Yashiv very rarely volunteered himself. I guess they really got on his nerves, and he told my son, if you daven out loud, the kavan is better, and you'll enjoy it a lot more. That was what he said. Since what we're trying to do is, we said before, focusing means we're not pushing into the davening, we're allowing the davening to take us. So if you say it, first of all, it's much, much easier to not to be distracted. You're doing something. It's very difficult, just like in learning, we stress always that unless a person, it's very hard. Most people cannot focus and concentrate when they're quiet. And that's why saying out something, even to yourself or mentally, a push comes up, is ideal. When you're davening and you're saying the words, then it helps you be involved with it. It helps you keep out anything else because you're busy with it. And it also allows you to get a feel for the words, for the davening. So just like when you sing a niggun, you feel the words because A, you're saying them, and B, the singing itself helps you. So when a person davens with the ne'ima, with a pleasantness, it helps strum against it. I wanted to give a mashal. There's we spoke about what is it like. It says there's a word from the Maggid, not the Dubna Maggid, but the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, Dravna Maggid, or Masrish Maggid, whatever you want to call it. He said, "Vayhiki menagin amenagin batitzah ruach Hashem," that the feeling of nevuah is like when someone strums on a guitar, on an instrument. In other words, you are being moved. You are being moved by the things that you're saying. So when a person is open and involved, he's moved by it. It stimulates it. It's very interesting. You find sometimes people who are giving Musa Shmuzen, and they're able to quote things right and left that give, that bring out the point. Not an obscure medrash, but pieces of davening that you always say and chumash that you always learn. And you ask yourself, like, why couldn't I do that? I mean, it's not the person is not quoting anything obscure. And the answer is because when he's saying it, it's sort of that's the feeling he has when he says it. So when he pulls it out, that's what he has in him. So davening is an experience where the words Chazal gave us words, so that the words would carry us, and therefore it has a certain sense of being open to it and allowing it to move you that will take you someplace. So third of all, instead of learning it word by word, there's a problem with that. And starting from the beginning, the problem with that is twofold. First, if you start at the beginning, you'll never get to Shmoneh Esrei. The core of davening is Shmoneh Esrei, Krishma Bevaseo, Pesukei Zimra, Kedusha Desidra, Karbonis. So if you start from the one end, chances are you'll never get to it, and it's structurally wrong. It's not. Yes, the Siddur starts with the Aleph Beis in the beginning, but it starts with the Shmoneh Esrei in the middle. That's the Siddur, really. Secondly, if we get stuck on words, then you lose the flow of it. And yes, you can dash on every word tili tilim. Just like if the only exposure you had to chumash was gematrias in every letter and tili tilim shalachas, and you couldn't tell me what the parasha says, there's a sort of a very very myopic vision. Like you see one nekuda, you don't see the whole. We're going to try to get a sense of each bracha. Let's say we'll start in the middle. Before that, I wanted to go through some things on tefillah in general. I have here. This is a sefer called Mitzvah V'Lev. Again, these are some classics for him that were never ever that people don't use anymore. The person who wrote this, his name is Bar Shaul Scholzen. When he was before he called the Bar Shaul, he was a Adam Chashuv, he was a very Chashuv person. He was from Chabad, the old Chabad extract. He became a Rav in Rehovot. I think he must have died in the 60s, and he had an extremely beautiful way, Big Bal Machshava, and had an extremely beautiful way of conveying Machshavas in a beautiful way, in a way that's very meaningful. He also had a language with the young Dor, and he was very, his Sfarim, I don't know if today, but in Beis Yaakov and Eretz Yisrael, they were learned a lot, because he deals with a lot of topics that sort of, on the one hand, speak to the young generation, Emunas Chachamim, Chazal, and many inyanim of Lev and Neshama and so on. He has on tefillah a few inyanim, more general inyanim that I think we want to do, and we'll try to skim a little bit because again his goes through sometimes a bunch of Chazal and try to keep a pace. We have 20 minutes a week. We want to be able to learn something and so on. Okay, let's take a look at. Let's start. So we'll first, Bez Hashem, the Seder Vayom, we'll first finish this, and we'll go through the pieces that I think are significant for us, and then we will start with Shmoneh Esrei. And I will try to be more thematic and get a sense of each bracha, what the bracha is. Maybe we'll translate. Maybe we'll see something. But try to keep some pace that we have, so that at the end of the year we have learned something. Okay, let's just start. The first piece is about what the mitzvah tefillah is. A tefillah b'chol yomi mitzvah. Tefillah every day is a mitzvah. Well, if you rab me money, a mitzvah is mitzvah from the Torah. Famous machlokas. Shneim alav b'chol avafchem v'yashmu alam duzu tefillah. I ain't al avoid a mamish tamlo b'chol avafchem. And he goes through the Chazal of tefillah that it's the raisa. I'm going to skip this. This is just it's an important introduction, but. The last line in 95. And according to those, even according to those shittas that hold that it's only the Rabbanan, one second. This is It's missing a page. I'm going to read it. I don't know why it's missing 96, 97. You're also missing 96, 97? See, that was chasa. I'm not sure why it's missing, but... So I'll read it from here, and I'll... So he brings here a 95 and 96. He brings it a Mekairis. Omnam. Tzorech la'akim says, you have to be makdim shvacha shal makim. This is page 96 here, and I will read it just so. Tzorech la'akim shvacha shal makim te'ikat tefillah. Even though tefillah itself is a bakasha, a person needs to start with shevach. And he brings the chazal, lo'ilam yisadal m'shvacha shal ha'kadosh baruch hu, ha'kach tefillah. And he brings the mekoyos from Veschanon. So he says, sida shevach wa'akdoma kedi levakesh etzrochav. You start with a shevach before you ask. You finish with hoidah on what you got. Avlem tzoyes shekulon tchino bakoshen ikat tefillah. Fine. Ach, this is going to be the last two or three lines, 97. Then we have it here. Hoil beikat tefillah tchino bakosha yeshalachus leshigas machshava shekila in tefillah boil b'shvil militzrochim. Being that the main part of tefillah is bakasha, it's become erroneously understood that the purpose of tefillah is to let HaKadosh Baruch Hu know what I'm missing. He doesn't know what I'm missing, or if I nudge him long enough, I'll get his attention. Chas v'shalom, kaviyachol. So that's the purpose of it. Ukeilu kol mehusa, it says, if the whole mouse of tefillah matnef shoros l'adam la'apul kosei koinoi. And now we're back on page. Al kol chosav ruach. So all it is in order for me to fulfill whatever I need, I'm going to ask it. The imki murga sheish betfila eza li ruch nistashes pala. And even though, along with this line of thought, even though we occasionally feel uplifted by it, asheim etoch shu peinam akash atzor shemayim hori machas alatsa shkoch azodin yoch la'amad loy. A person feels a tremendous sense of his battles to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I recognize that how impotent I am and how I can't fulfill my needs. So yes, there's a collateral damage of tefillah that we feel humble and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great. So we think, okay, when we daven, there are some side benefits. Or maybe it's a price to pay for davening. Because tefillah, all it is asking, and we recognize we need to say please and thank you, so we do it for that. Next paragraph. Ulam, mabat choydem megalonu. If you look a little deeper, you recognize shekol atzma shatfilahu. Ach berak aliyah ruch nisnafsh gedolah, dveikas kivas alakim. It's the other way around. Tfilah's essence is the keshet HaKadosh Baruch Hu we have, and the means for it is through bakasha. So it flips it around. Yes, if tefillah was what we need, so maybe today lunch, I had my pizza ready, I don't need supper till at night, mechatesa, what am I asking for? In other words, if the tachas of tefillah ask for things, sometimes we need a lot of things, or a lot of something, and sometimes we don't need much, and then tefillah is the kirva, the dveikas, they'll explain each element, and the way in which it happens is by presenting needs. But understand that the presenting of the needs is the echetimtza, not the ikka. Harakavano afucha, ba'avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu sa'odom, roitzi yisparashon yitomid imechitzos kavyocha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires a kirva, so he would like us to be bedveikus timidis. Korvel of the whole Yeshusoi, Dovak by the whole Shoshe, Moicha Benim Eliboy, Lamayestashev, Chiyotosh Baruch Vaide. Kadosh Baruch Hu created Adam as a tachlis, and that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from Adam, and Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be close to him. Ulaman Yisanego Adam al Hadar Ziv Elion Lachsen Hashavai Kholai. Ubeteris emtsoilekach, as a means for that, Masha Kadosh Baruch Hu omim milos adam zitzrocha, a Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes holds back. Bichdeishim pniyosi levakas zitzrocha, maybe if he doesn't get what he needs, yismala libashon shal hebesh ikisu beksav shal shemayim shal tzimoa and yoike lekevasakim chayim elachoylam. If a person is missing, maybe he's going to say to himself, you know, I really haven't been close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need to touch base again. So when a person looks at his needs through that perspective, that, you know, if things aren't going well and I sort of feel fizzled out, maybe it's because I need to touch base. So the needs of a person becomes a chatimsa for something. I'll give you a marshal. You see it from one side of the fence, I see it from the other side of the fence. A parent and a child. A child goes away to yeshiva, lahabul, to work, to college, whatever it is, and he needs money. The derech olam that children need money, and now a child hasn't spoken home a long time, and then you pick up a phone because you want to ask for money or whatever it is that you need. So a child usually feels, you know, it's not right. I haven't spoken a long time already. I know that I need money now. I need to ask for money, but I also feel we become cut off. We become distant. So when a person has needs, it also turns him to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gets a tremendous tzimon. He also feels the distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've been distant. Things have fizzled out between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things aren't happening. According to this tfisa, mehusa tfila klayma iskarvus Hashem iatzam atara. The close HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the matara. V'lechisar natzorchem v'akash milim elan tzorla. So the first insight, important insight, is the tachlis of tfila is to touch base HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel that. So if a person, let's say, very typical, people go to work, and they, you know, and one of the complaints is I'm so busy all day long. I don't feel ruchnistic anymore. I don't feel Jewish anymore. I don't feel frum anymore. On the level of feeling, it's not uncommon to get these types of responses. But the answer is, but if the three times a day that tefillah were to be there, in place, a person would feel the kesher HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that tefillah. Kach pishon chachamim. And this is the pshat nechazal. Lomer is akrim asichulu, shakadosh baruch hu misarvav tefillasa. Omer kadosh baruch hu, ashir esei nois hei. Im ani nois len banim, ein es pal lefonai. He said, if I would give them children, they wouldn't daven to me. V'oimek devreim, what's the pshat? Ke'ein ha'akros ikar asiva la tefila. It's the other way around. Akadosh baruch hu wanted to give them, to have that connection. I remember a very, very touching scene. I used to learn to Reb Nachum Chavrusa. The last year I was a bacha, I learned with his son, and we learned Chavrusa with him. Reb Nachum sat and learned all day long, and he had his youngest daughter she was the baby. She was like the child. She's married to Reb Asher Eilat today. She was sort of she had the favorite of a youngest. And Reb Nachum didn't have much time to be with the kids or whatever. So we're sitting and learning, and an ani knocked on the door. And Reb Nachum reached in his pocket and he didn't find money, so he called out to his daughter, maybe she has money that she could give him or give to the ani, whatever, bring to him. So I had whatever was a shekel, I don't know if it was a shekel, a pound, whatever was in my pocket, and I started giving him. No. He didn't, Reb Nachum didn't express these things, but what he said is, it's a chance for me to have a contact with my daughter. You know, that's the chance for it. The needs a person has is the chance, and the depth of the needs is a chance for a certain depth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that contact, and b'meila he created us with necessities, and sometimes with profound necessities, so that we move forward. a king liked one of his avodim by Mashminoi Bechaiza Zinu Paltishlai. He kept inviting him. So he started doing what he was supposed to do, and he forgot. What did the king do? So he said that serve lunch in by me in the palace. So that way, when he gets hungry, he'll remember that he has to come home. So mitzvahs at tefillah hagdarasi. So what's the right definition of tefillah? Lavaris Hashem b'chol yom b'tefillah leimer. Tzuris at tefillah ena el mizgeret lavaris Hashem. Tefillah is a means for lavaris Hashem. Shor kala shekula kodesh. Losses that have mokum liskarav leyizbarach. It's a way which a person can become kosher kashbaruch hu. Pishim at tefillah yizkarav adam lebayrei. Hatfila is a kli for dveikus, proizdo l'traknish kivus amela. So lemaisa, so the first insight to take away is we all down bottom we look to be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Life and one of the primary ingredients of life are needs are part of this process, and as so when we go through life, the daily needs, the special needs. Are the hechetimtzes that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to actively connect with Him, and if we want to be shayach to Kadosh Baruch Hu, connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then understanding that tefillah is the process for it to happen is a whole different way of looking at it. Okay, just put this away. Somebody in the closet, but toich shar, yeah.
The guys in the second row, just for next time, it was very hard with the...